Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Everyone, welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Nice to be back with you after being on vacation last week. My thanks to Tyler Friel and Kayla Molzan for filling in on the It's Your Turn program last week. Open talk to begin today. Phone number is 283-2525. Later on the program, we're going to be talking with Alan Klein about secrets that kids know that adults ought to learn. Kind of an interesting topic. And then still later on the program today, chatting with Susan Catalda, who will be with us here in the studio. She is the founder of Team Friends. Have you heard of that organization, Team Friends? She's a Slippery Rock University grad, by the way. So we'll talk about Team Friends, what that's all about. It's a pretty neat program. Looking forward to meeting with Susan a little bit later on the program today. So that's the lineup. Open talk to begin with. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. You know, we were chatting, I don't know, must be a couple of months ago now, about the changes that are coming to the Miss America pageant. Remember that? Yeah, I think it was back in May where they announced, and that's coming up. Well, it's usually around Labor Day, I think. Yeah. Yeah, because it was started as a tourist promotion to try to keep tourists coming to Atlantic City after the end of the summer season. Interesting story in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette yesterday about a Miss America who came from Pittsburgh, Wilkinsburg, I think. No, McKeesport. Henrietta Lever. I'd never heard of her before, but kind of an interesting story that ties in a little bit with the latest changes to come. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about anything you want to discuss. It's open talk after all at 283-2525. Let's get to the people without any further ado. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yes. A few weeks ago, there was a teacher on the front page complaining she only made $50,000 a year in Seneca Valley, and she could go get $80,000 as a computer programmer. Well, you tell me she's only working 185 days and she's making $50,000. The needs income in Butler County is only $48,000, according to the census there, and then she's complaining she's only making $50,000 with all the benefits. She's making more than that for a part-time job. And tell me which one in Butler County is going to pay for for $50,000 just to stay there.
Do you think,
and not work a full day and get a pension like they get. Get sick leave, they get vacation, plus they get the time off in the summer. But if there's the teachers, we don't make enough. They get an average of 3% of a raise every year.
Do you think the teachers are overpaid?
Yes, I do. For what? And when I went to school, teachers had to get a second job to support themselves, and it was an honor to be a teacher. Now they go in there for the money and time off in the summer.
So you consider it a part-time job?
It's only 185 days. Whether workplace only makes you work 185 and you get paid $50,000.
Well, why don't you become a teacher then?
That's a little late in my life to get to become a teacher now.
Well,
back when in the 70s, they all had to get a second job, and especially the construction workers always complained about the teachers coming out and taking their all their construction work jobs because in the summertime.
Well, do you think that they should be forced to take a second job? Do you think that's a good thing?
Well, that's how they did it before, and they still survived. It wasn't meant to both people had to work. It wasn't meant to support yourself on a teacher's wage. It was an honor to be a teacher, not to become a thing to support your family and get pensions. Who else gets a pension, a full pension nowadays?
Wait a minute. You don't think it's an honor to be a teacher today, for goodness sakes?
Not teachers used to go in for being honored. Now they go in for the money and the time off in the summer.
Well, I think you're generalizing. I don't think a lot of teachers do that. I don't think the majority of teachers do that.
The younger ones do. Go talk to the young ones.
Well, first of all, it's pretty hard to get a teacher's job these days. There are not that many of them around. You need to have...
Well, you go down south, they have billboards up. Need teachers. Don't even need it. All you have to do is pass the teacher's program. Baltimore. Philadelphia is another one if you want to become a teacher online, whatever they call them. They have billboards up in Texas. Need teachers, come be a teacher.
Well, I'm not talking about Texas. I'm talking about here in western Pennsylvania.
Well, that's because most of Pennsylvania, they're hard to find teachers. Pennsylvania is one of the highest paid teachers there are in the United States because of the union and all that. On average, teachers around here make a 3% raise, and we haven't had a cost of living over 3% in I don't know how long. The senior citizens don't get a 3% on their Social Security.
Well, senior citizens aren't working anymore either.
But they don't get. I know they're not working. But let's go with inflation rate with teachers getting them a raise, same as anybody else.
Well, the Social Security adjustment—that's what it is based on, a cost of living adjustment, a COLA.
That's right, and we haven't had a 3% raise. And the teachers, on average, get above raise more than the cost of living.
Okay, my friend, if you think that they're overpaid, you will admit, though, that for many years, decades, teachers were underpaid, right?
Yeah, and they had to, that's because they still only worked 185 days. And an average teacher only teaches 4 hours in a classroom a day.
4 hours, really?
That's it, yes.
Where did you get that figure?
My son had to take a teacher and have her fill out paperwork for her, and that's what she had put down. She only made work 4 hours, taught 4 hours an hour a day.
I would disagree with that figure, but we appreciate your thoughts.
Well, his teacher put it down.
Okay. Thanks, my friend. Thank you very much.
Yep.
283-2525. There's a gentleman, obviously, who's distressed over teacher salaries. Let's go to this line next. It's Open Talk at 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. Missed you last week. Glad to hear your friendly voice back.
Well, thank you for that. I just had a little vacation time, you know.
I'm glad for you. But just to let you know, you're missed.
Well,
I wondered if you could, I respectfully disagree with the last caller. You couldn't pay me any amount of money to teach in today's world, but I think the regard for teachers, the respect for teachers, and what they have to deal with in child's mental and emotional health issues is just beyond belief. But that is not what I called about. I wondered if you could share some of your memories of early days visiting our wonderful Butler Farm Show.
I wondered
if you would mind sharing some of those. I have some great memories of taking sewing exhibits up there, and my brothers taking livestock, and even doing some art projects for contests at the farm show, quilts and that sort of thing.
I was never involved as a participant, which I regret, actually. I think I've talked with a lot of young adults, and it was one of the best times in their lives. But I have gone. I go to the farm show every year. I really like it. Sometimes I'll even go a couple of times during farm show week. It's just a fun place to be. You know?
It is, and they have some wonderful bluegrass groups performing up there, and they have just the art exhibits and the pride that the kids, the 4-H kids and other local farmers have in what their produce and their livestock is just. it's so impressive.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy walking around. It's kind of a relaxed pace. At least when I go out there, I relax. I don't know. I hope most people do. I'm not a big rider of amusement rides, but for people who enjoy that, they, of course, have that as well. So
they seem to have something for a lot of different age groups. Mm-hmm. The next thing was I was really concerned to hear about the credit card thing at the Pilot gas station,
yes.
Yeah, I didn't think that had got into Butler County yet, and I was surprised and disappointed to hear that.
Well, we've had, they're called skimmers. They're devices that bad people put on, actually, they put them on all automated teller machines. They put them on even at gas stations. You know, most gas stations today, you can pay with a credit card. You know, you push your card in and you pull it out. And I noticed, when was I getting gas? Several months ago. Get-go. And they have tags on them now to indicate that they've been tampered with. So if the if the tag's not there, then watch out. So it's been a problem. I don't think it's been particularly widespread here. I do recall a couple of news stories where it was put on ATM machines at banks here locally, but this I guess all the I don't know how many ATMs there are at the Pilot gas station. I've never been in the place, but I guess they all had these devices on them, discovered by state police.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you next. If you have heard of a way that the person who's using the ATM or the credit card machines can detect these skimmers before they put their cards in.
Well, if it looks suspicious, if it looks different than what you're used to, that's a big sign, because it actually is a device, as I understand it. I've never actually seen one, but it goes on top of, the place that you stick your card in. So, if it looks suspicious, for goodness sakes, don't use it,
All right. Well, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks very much. I'll have to find out more about these skimmers, just what they look like. It's a good thing you brought that up. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye.
283-2525. Anybody seen one of these things? I've read about them, I've seen stories on them in the newspapers and on TV, but I've never actually seen one. Let's go to this line next. It's Open Talk at 283-2525. Hi there, caller. Thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, I'm calling regarding the teachers and their salaries and mm-hmm. their jobs.
Yes.
I've been a professional nurse for probably 30 years, and last year I had retired, so I went up to the high school and applied and worked in the kitchen area serving meals to the children in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not, there's no way you could ever pay me to be a teacher. When there's no respect. A lot of the children have no respect toward their teachers at all, none.
Yeah, well.
And they may work 4 hours a day teaching, but a child's attention span would only be probably a half an hour a child, and they also do work in the classroom.
I don't understand this gentleman said, I only teach for 4 hours. What, the school day starts, high school kids go about 7:30 in the morning. When do they get out? 2:30 in the afternoon? I mean, that's a lot more than 4 hours.
Yes, but the verbal teaching, if you're talking about verbal interaction with children, their attention span is not going to be there an hour in the classroom of pure teaching. There's other issues. They have people, they give them an assignment, they talk through there's other things rather than verbally teaching to them. And if he's talking about verbally teaching, it would probably be 4 hours.
Yeah, but that's.
But there's other things. They are cafeteria monitors up there, and it is unbelievable what these teachers put up with in that cafeteria, as I worked there and watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying all children are misbehaved, but they have to also deal with, like the previous caller said, mental health issues, bullying,
mm-hmm.
Things like that, and not having being able to speak to parents without them to be offended. When I went to school, and I'm 68, I'm sure you remember that we would never speak to a teacher with disrespect, because if we did, we got it when we got home, and they were called.
Anyway, sent to the principal's office, and they might even get a beating,
well, I'm not saying to beat them, but there was respect. And I am, there's just a lot of collateral damage, and I'm not saying all these children are products of people with addictions or whatever, because I've had issues in my family with raising grandchildren who had parents that were drug addicts, and mm-hmm. and there's a lot of collateral damage in that, and it affects them.
No,
I'm not saying, and with me being a grandmother, a lot of grandparents are raising their children, and a lot of grandchildren don't even have anybody to raise them, and the atmosphere is a lot different up there. But these teachers, these young teachers, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not being age related at all, but these younger teachers in this profession, it is horrific. It really is. But they love these children. I mean, it's not like when you went to school, they have a lot of interaction with these kids. It's not like they're going to give their assignment and leave. There's more interaction and personal relationship with these teachers that I saw. And God bless them. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk. Let's go to this line next. Caller, thanks for waiting. I know you've been there for a while. Go right ahead. It's your turn. This is Dave.
Hi, Dave. I missed you last week. I think WISR and the Butler Media Group, they should count you as probably their prime and best, most valuable asset. Yeah. And I really missed you, and I think you've got more talent than five of the other people that work there.
I don't want to say that, but I appreciate
you. I don't even know you, and I want to make that clear. I don't know you. You would know me to see me because we do see one another at church once in a while, but we've never talked. But I just wanted you to know that. You put more emphasis on production of your show than even some of the bigger radio stations, KDKA, these talk show guys don't put the effort that you put into getting interesting telephone interviews with, you know, publishers and people that write books and such. And I just really appreciate all that you do.
Well, I appreciate that. We try to get a variety of subjects to discuss, and obviously, you know, some things are more of interest to some people than others, but we try to make it interesting no matter what we're talking about, so.
I do, and if I could not sound like a grumpy old man too about something.
Sure, it's okay. You could be grumpy once in a while.
I have to turn off WISR once in a while because of some of the just terrible songs that they play. I mean, I don't know if anyone else has ever complained, but you know the song they played right before the 12 o'clock news was a title that. And I listened to music growing up all my life, and I'm 64, and I never heard this song before, and probably because it was so bad, but the title of it had to be something like, Why Do Sad Movies Make Me Cry?
Yes, I know the song.
It had a country twang to it, and I'm telling you, if that ever made it to the top 10, I would find that hard to believe. I think people had more taste even, you know, 30, 40 years ago, they had more taste.
Wow.
I just, some of the songs, you know, about 7 years ago, you quit playing, not you personally, but the WISR quit playing things like Frank Sinatra and Peggy Lee and some of the great singers with some of the best produced music ever that was part of the 50s and 60s. And they just put on all this cruise-a-palooza music, and I swear people that are putting it on didn't grow up in the era because they're not even picking good songs.
So you're not a big fan of the doo-wop era and oldies music, huh?
Well, there's a lot of great oldies, a lot. I think whoever's, you know, I called in one other time to complain, and I forget who I talked to, and I said, does your program director, where do they come up with these songs? And he just laughed at me and said, we don't even have a program director, but whoever's picking these songs, all they need to do is buy a good Time Warner CD, and they'll have, you know, 1,000 songs were actually truly great 50s and 60s songs. I think you pick the song sometimes right before you come on to certain, you know, certain shows. And the songs you picked seem to relate well with what I was listening to. But I'm telling you, why can't they start playing? You know, Dean Martin wasn't even a great singer, but he had some really, really good songs. And you have Steve Lawrence and Patsy Cline and all these great singers of the 50s and 60s, and you guys used to play them. And you threw them out about 5 years ago. You gradually went into this full-time 60s music. And I'm telling you, some of it's junk that they play. Well, it's not quality music.
Appreciate your comments. There's a lot of junk music from pretty much every era. And there's good music from every era, too.
But why can't they just pick the best of the best, the ones that were truly in the top 10, not... You know, why do sad movies make me cry? Anyway, all right, Dave. Really love you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the comments. Good to talk with you today, my friend. Thank you.
Take care.
283-2525 is the number. This line is next. Hi there, caller. Dave Malarkey here. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Okay, Dave. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Good. First day back from vacation and... You're willing to go.
Always fun to be on the first day back from vacation, right? Right?
Yeah. I hear you. About the teachers.
Yes.
My dad was a school teacher. He taught sixth grade for 30 years in Fawn Township near Trenum. Mm-hmm. He started in 1953 to 1983. And, you know, back then they made no money at all. And he did have, he worked through the summer, you know, he found jobs and so on. but I think that, you know, the teachers, you know, maybe they are making a little more money than... quote, they should be, but the union is helping the teachers to make a living wage. And it's so sad that the unions have pretty much gone by the wayside. I mean, the corporations are just, you know, they'll do whatever they can to eliminate the unions. And perhaps, you know, the hard feelings could be because it's a taxpayer funded thing, you know, with the school teachers. But I worked in the steel mill for 33 years, and if it wasn't for the union, I mean, you know, and it's been happening, you know, they're just weakening the unions, and by doing that, they're weakening the overall economy because people aren't making a living wage.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
They're squeaking by on credit and two or three jobs, and they wonder why people are whacked out and depressed, and I think the union is one of the noble ideas that, just like every other noble idea, has been perverted over the years.
Well, so. There's no question that people in the teaching profession. And you don't have to go back too many decades when they were grossly underpaid, and then unionization came to the teachers, public school teachers, and you know, and they were able to get a living wage. But they didn't for a long, long time. In fact, it wasn't all that long ago when teachers weren't allowed to be married. You know, if a woman got married, she couldn't teach anymore. I mean, there were all kind of ridiculous restrictions back in the day.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing like back then. And, yeah, like you say, like the colleges and that, they're even recognizing the realities of the economy. I mean, some of them are, you know, reducing their tuition and so on.
From what I understand, I mean, today, if you want to become a teacher, you need absolutely top-notch grades. I'm talking top-notch or you won't even get an interview. And then after that, you have to be in the right place at the right time. Here in western Pennsylvania. Now, there are other parts of the country. I know a couple of people who went south to the Carolinas or to Texas where they have a shortage of teachers. But around here, it's very, very difficult to get a teaching job. Extremely difficult. There just aren't that many that are opening up, you know. Our enrollments are declining. Look at the Butler Area School District. They've got about half the number of students that they used to have 30 years ago.
Right. I don't know. Do you have any idea how many kids are in a class now?
Teacher-student relation? I don't know whether that's changed that much, but I know that the Butler School District used to have about 12,000 students, and now it's down to around 6,000. Now I'm rounding off, but...
Right.
You know, and Butler's not alone. People are having fewer kids these days, and when people are having fewer kids, then there's... fewer kids in school, you know.
Right, yeah. And I don't know, Dave, it just seems like all the so-called economic experts are totally backwards. You know, they talk about a tax base, but they have, you know, their ideal is to have no one working. And where's the money supposed to come from? You know, if you have people working, they're paying income tax. And it, I mean... I can't even listen to these so-called economic experts, you know, and I'm just a regular guy, because they're proposing stuff that makes absolutely no sense to me at all.
You're talking about the people like Bernie Sanders? Is that who you're talking about?
Well, no, Dave. I mean, it's just in every aspect of our lives anymore. I mean, just take, you know, Butler City, you know, the talk about converting all the traffic meters, you know, the parking meters to, you know, the, I don't know, online debit and all that. When they have the old, you know, coin meters that you put the coins in and somebody goes around and collects it and so on, how many jobs did they eliminate? And every job they eliminate, that, you know, cuts the tax base. And they just refuse to, you know, even recognize that.
Well, there are some jobs that are going to go out of existence, you know. I mean, the people that made horse and buggies all lost their jobs. You wouldn't want to go back. Wouldn't want to go back to that.
Like we were talking before about the driverless cars, you know, the technology can be great. But, you know, I mean, they've made movies about it where, you know... millions of people are, you know, working basically slave labor, and that's all they're good for.
Well, look at the auto industry. I've never been inside an automobile plant, but I've seen the video. You know, it wasn't all that long ago when a production line was, it was all people. Now it seems to be all robots, you know. Have you ever seen the car commercials on TV where they're making the cars?
Oh, yeah.
Not too many people. All the welding is done by robotic welders, you know.
Right, right. And I worked in Brackenridge for Allegheny Ludlum. And, I mean, same thing with AK Steel here in Butler. If they shut down, the town would be, I mean, look what happened when Pullman went out. Well, you know, those are hard facts that, you know, the corporations just, I don't know how they consider that. I don't know. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, that, you know, penny pinching attitude with all the aspects of our lives anymore. It just, I don't know. It just seems to be heading for a really bad end. I don't know.
Thanks for the call, my friend. Good to talk with you today. Thanks for sharing your thoughts.
All right, you too, Dave. Have a good day.
And you. So long. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today on this first day of the Butler Farm Show. Runs all this week through Saturday. I don't know, is it because the farm show is situated where it is? you know, right around the first half of, it's usually about a week into to August that the farm show gets underway. And here we are, August 6th already today. Is it because of the position that so many people love the farm show? Well, that might have something to do with it. But it's the atmosphere as much as anything else, I think. It's just a different atmosphere from some of the other events. It's more of a friendly, casual atmosphere, right? And yes, you know, you get to the first week, second week of August, and you realize that the summer is slipping away. Maybe you cling to activities that come up this time of year even more than others. We are only about a month away from Labor Day. When is Labor Day this year? It's September 3rd, so month away, give or take a couple of days. And then that's it, huh? Yeah. Farm show week here in the Butler area. It's a fun time. Hope they get good weather. It's a little bit iffy. In fact, mentioning that, let me take a quick look at the weather, at the radar scope here, and see if I don't see anything developing yet in our area. A few showers, it looks like, are popping up over in western Ohio. Well, we'll see. It's one of those things. Oh, there's something has just popped up down around the Worthington area. So we have those kind of conditions where it can happen pretty quickly. And there is a chance of isolated showers or thunderstorms today from mid-afternoon on. And here we are just after 1 o'clock. So we'll keep an eye on the radar for you. We had this situation yesterday where all of a sudden we started to see some pop-up thunderstorms. Actually, I had some thunderstorm warnings yesterday here in Butler County. Freeport got some rain. There was some rain coming in. It looked like it was going to hit Butler, and it kind of petered out just as it got in the area of Prospect and Moraine State Park. I don't think they had any serious rain at the regatta yesterday, a few sprinkles. And there was some storm activity north of Newcastle and into the Grove City area, too, but that was about it yesterday. It's pretty isolated. Hopefully it'll be that way today, too. Huh? We're not looking for anything widespread, but could be something popping out. If you haven't been outside, if you've been sitting in the air conditioning most of the day today, it is really steamy out there, really steamy and sticky and hazy. Well, you know, it's August. That's kind of weather we get around here year in and year out, and it's fun. I know it's a little uncomfortable, but it's fun. Famous people born on August 6th. Lucille Ball. I Love Lucy. You know, I haven't seen an I Love Lucy show in ages. I imagine it's still on some of those networks that broadcast the old shows. I don't watch those too much. TV Land, is that still on? TV Land? Is that still a channel? I don't know whether it would stand the test of time or not. I, of course, saw Lucy shows when I was a kid. Would it still be funny today? I don't know. If Lucille Ball were still alive, she would be 107 today. She was born on this date in 1911. Western New York, by the way. Lucille Ball was born in Jamestown, New York, right on the shores of Lake Chautauqua. Another famous birthday today from a man who's no longer with us, Andy Warhol, born in Pittsburgh on this date in 1928. Well-known artist and bon vivant, man about town in New York City. Yeah, Andy Warhol. And relatives, I believe, here in our area, too. Born name was Warhola. He knocked the A off it and became Andy Warhol. And I think he had an aunt or something, cousin, that lived in Lindora. And one other name. This one goes way, way back. Alexander Fleming. Scottish physician. Pharmacologist. discovered the world's first antibiotic. Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin. Born on this date in 1881, Scotland. Probably picked up an old orange with the mold all over it and said, what's this green stuff here? I wonder if this would help my sore throat. And sure enough, it did. Discoverer of penicillin, Alexander Fleming. Well, we need to take a break here, and about time that we chatted with our first guest on the program today. Do keep in mind a little bit later on the program, we're going to be talking about, and this is an organization that I had not heard of before. It's called Team Friends. Team Friends, the founder of that organization, Susan Cataldi, is scheduled to visit with us a little bit later on the program today. From what I've read about it in preparation for chatting with Susan, it's really a wonderful, wonderful organization. So we'll find out about that a little bit later. But first, after a quick break, Alan Klein visits with us. Secrets kids know that adults ought to learn. It's coming up here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR in just a moment or so. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They're located just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. Gone Postal Butler, what do? They package your items for shipping. And this is really a convenience. I've utilized their services. It's wonderful. You don't have to worry about hunting around for the right size box or buying the right size box or the bubble wrap or any of that stuff. They do all of that for you. Yeah, just take it up. Gone Postal Butler. You can ship it U.S. Postal Service or UPS or FedEx, your choice. Wonderful service, very convenient. And very affordable, too. They also have copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have local honey. Delicious. Local. It's good. Oh, and by the way, there's an official notary there, too. Sometimes you have to get something notarized before shipped out. They can handle that right there. They're open Monday through Friday. Here's a phone number, 724-841-0044. Gone Postal Butler. They're in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, right behind King's and Villa Grande there off Newcastle Road. Just drive into the complex, follow the signs, and you're at Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Dr. Catherine Szabo, practicing family medicine at Butler Health System.
Health really is a family matter. That's why I'm in family medicine. It's for families like Jessica's. As a working mom, she has a lot to juggle. So if something comes up, she knows I'm on top of the whole story. And if they need specialty care, I know the best is right nearby.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
We're going to have a few laughs, or at least a couple of good smiles, listeners, on the next segment of the program. Yes, we are. Welcome. If you're joining us a little bit late on the It's Your Turn program here today on WISI, that's fine. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest joins us on the telephone. He is Alan Klein. And as you just heard Alan say, he is able to make people smile and be joyful, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. He's actually written a number of books on this subject. First of all, let me say hello, Alan Klein. It's nice to meet you. It's nice to have you for a few minutes with us here today.
Hello, hello. I'm so glad to be anywhere. And I think it was George Burns who said that at his age, he's glad to be anywhere.
That's right.
I'm getting close to that.
Well, the title of your book has taken a lot of people, it's given them a smile. And when people hear the book title, Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn, everybody gets a little smile. And then they're intrigued. They want to know what the secrets are.
Well, there are 18 of them. And everything from kids teaching us to be more kind, to be more loving, to kids teaching us to be more creative.
That's fascinating because, and I've never met you before. We have never talked before. I had an art teacher once, outstanding. He was not only an outstanding painter, he was an outstanding teacher. And he told me that he preferred to teach young kids when he was doing art class. And I said, well, why? What do you mean? Aren't the older ones more accomplished? He said, ah, but the older ones have boundaries. They won't go places where a natural kid's creativity. He said, did you ever see a kid with a crayon or with a paintbrush?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I actually have a story related to that in the Secrets Kids notebook, and it's about a teacher who went into a high school class and put a dot on the blackboard and then asked the class, what is that? And most of the kids said it was a dot on the blackboard. Then she went downstairs to a class that was more like a kindergarten class, first grade class. She put a dot on the blackboard, and kids came up with incredible stuff. Like one of them said, oh, that's a dog seen from the top of the Empire State Building.
Well, kids can do this. I mean, they almost do it naturally. It's almost like it's intuitive, isn't it? But then, I don't know what happens, Alan. We lose this as we grow older.
Well, Dave, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, I was told to settle down, get serious, wipe that smirk off your face. And what happened? That's exactly what happened. And so part of the reason I wrote this book is to show everyone that childhood, that childlike, rather, being is still within us and can still come out and play. So, like, I was in an airport, and my plane was 3 hours late, and I was watching all of the adults, you know, sulk. Oh, my God, you know, I'm going to be late, blah, blah, blah. Kids took out some toys, sat on the carpet, and there were little trucks and cars, and the pattern in the carpet became their highway, and they were just having the greatest time. Same situation, seen through the eyes of a child or the eyes of an adult.
Now, there are ramifications about learning to do this again when we're older, when we're adults. And one of the things that you talk about in your book, Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn, one of the things you talk about, Alan Klein, is you can relieve some of the stress and worry in your life. And, you know, a lot of us are, sometimes we just feel overwhelmed by that these days.
Well, one of the things, and I certainly write about this in the book, is that I think adults don't realize how abundant the world is. And so if they're feeling overwhelmed, I mean, they can just turn that around. That's their power. You have choice in everything. So if you can just see that overwhelm in the eyes of a child, like if you're in a traffic jam, you might want to have some bubbles in the car, roll down the window and blow some bubbles. You know, that's what a child would do. They would turn it into an opportunity to play. And the other thing, a chapter in the book is about seeing the world through the eyes of a child by it's called in Zen, beginner's mind.
Okay.
So seeing everything as brand new. So if you're in a difficult situation, like Dave, give me something that stresses you out.
Oh, well, trying to get things done on time when I'm on deadline.
Okay. So how would a child deal with that?
They might just throw up their hands and say, well, if I get to this tomorrow, that's fine.
Right. So you can't do that, but you get a little bit of perspective by seeing it. Well, maybe this is not that important. This is not life-threatening. And you get that little perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kids, they, it's almost in their bones to react this way. I was talking, and this is, oh, I don't know, a couple of years ago, Alan. And by the way, listeners, we're talking with Alan Klein, and he sometimes calls himself a jollytologist. We'll talk about that in a minute here. But I was interviewing a grief counselor. She was a grief counselor. This is a couple of years ago. And we were talking about the different ways that people grieve. And she said, sometimes kids or even a totally different way than adults. And sometimes adults misinterpret that. You know, they shush them, they quiet them down, you know, say, what are you carrying on like this for? Sometimes that's the way kids do it. Now, it's not all the time, but sometimes that's the way they grieve. They smile,
and I
they
think
joke.
Kids,
you know?
I used to be a hospice volunteer, and we can talk about how I came to this See Humor work. It was my wife died when she was very young, and we can talk about that if you like. But kids, I think, celebrate the person's life more than grieve the person's life. Mm-hmm. So they'll talk about, you know, well, Grandma, Grandpa and I used to do this. Or, you know, they bring back those happy memories they had with that person. So there's another thing I think we can learn from kids.
Listeners, our guest is Alan Klein. A little bit of background about Alan. He is an award-winning inspirational speaker, best-selling author. He's written, several books down through the years. Let me give you some of the titles. You Can't Ruin My Day. I love that one. You Can't
My Day. I'm not going to let you.
Inspiration for a Lifetime. Mom's the Word. Not Mom's the Word. Mom's the World. He has quite a large following, and I noted in some of the information that was sent from your publicist, Alan, that one of the people that you inspired and uplifted over the years was Jerry Lewis, the legendary comedian and film star. Can you share that story with us? How did you he contact you? How did you find out that he read your books?
Yeah, he read my book, my first book, The Healing Power of Humor.
Uh-huh.
And then I was writing another book, and actually a friend of mine worked with him, and I said, well, could you give this to Jerry? Maybe he'll comment on it. And he did. And he said very nice things about me. So I am very grateful that he did that. I actually never met him, although I did work in television. I was a scenic designer for 10 years at CBS Television, and I met a number of great people, including I designed, actually, the Jackie Gleason show.
Oh, wow.
For a while.
Wow.
One show, I don't know if you're old enough, Dave, but Captain Kangaroo. Do you remember Captain Kangaroo?
I know who he was.
Okay. and it was a children's show, and that's how I learned to think like a child. Hmm. And still do at this age, because it helps me get a perspective on the world that's so heavy these days. That I just I get lifted up by being around children and learning from them.
This is a touch parenthetical, but just a quick comment before we take a break here. Which Gleason show did you work on? Was that his his musical variety show where he had the June Taylor dancers? Was that
exactly
the one?
From Florida, from Miami, with a June from live from Florida with the June Taylor dancers.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great show.
Yeah, and I had great fun doing it. So I worked with him and did Merv Griffin show for a while, so I met a lot of stars and did the sets for a lot of stars on that show, too.
Mm. Every time I hear Jackie Gleason, I got the Honeymooners. You can't escape it. It's 100 years old, but it's still funny.
Do you know they're doing a Broadway musical about the Honeymooners?
I did not, no.
Yes?
Wow.
So he'll still live on.
Hey, Norton.
And away we go.
That's right. Listeners, a quick break. Fortunately, we have a few more minutes that we're able to chat with Alan Klein. And when we come back, first thing I want to talk about is daydreaming. How many times when you were a kid did people tell you to stop daydreaming? Well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Our guest, Alan Klein, author of Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn. And we'll pick up our conversation with him. You're on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
What is it about a pet dog that makes you feel so good? What is it? Unconditional love? Ask for a little in return, a pat here, a snuggle there? You know what I mean. It's this level of comfort that our dog O'Shea offers at Thompson Miller Funeral Home in downtown Butler. Comfort. Love. We've heard so often that when O'Shea is present at a funeral here, she offers a level of comfort that's indescribable. Comfort for the family and comfort for everyone attending. Yes, O'Shea is available for a funeral service, but only if requested by the family. So come on in and meet O'Shea. See why so many folks want her at a funeral. And while you're here, ask about our unique services, our competitive costs, and our unique cremation program. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or visit our website at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back. Our guest is Alan Klein, author of Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn. And we're very happy to have him with us here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. For joining us a little bit late, no problem. My name is Dave Malarkey. Before the break, Alan, I said daydreaming. How many times did your parents or your teacher maybe say, quit daydreaming, let's get with the program here? And that kind of sticks with us when we go into adulthood, right? We have this negative feeling, this negative image, this pejorative context about daydreaming, right?
Right. And everything we do, it comes from a thought, which is daydreaming. You think, you know, I had a thought, I'm going to write this book. I had a thought when I was 7 years old and taken to see my first Broadway show that I wanted to be a scenic designer. It was just a thought. I was just daydreaming what it would be like. And what happens? I became an author. I became a scenic designer in my previous life. So kids have that. And for kids, I think the amazing thing about kids, I think definitely we lose as an adult, is that the sky is the limit. Kids could be anything, Dave. One little girl was asked, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, I want to be a dancer, clown, doctor who drives bulldozers.
Wow.
So you know, for kids, the world is abundant. I think we lose that. You know, what kids go, why can't I have that? I want that. You know, there's like no boundaries of what can be done or not done. And I think, to some limits, that's a great lesson for adults to learn.
So we should be a daydreamer. Never stop pretending, never stop playing make-believe. I'm sure we had a legendary person here in our area, right in western Pennsylvania, Alan, the late Fred Rogers. And I'm sure his shows aired out on the West Coast where you are. But his shows were produced here in western Pennsylvania at the local PBS affiliate in Pittsburgh. And he had a segment of his show, an area on his set that he called the Land of Make-Believe. Mm-hmm. And he would go into, mm-hmm. you know, on a regular basis.
Yeah. So one of the things we haven't talked about is how creative kids are. And I think, well, we did with the dot on the blackboard, but I have a funny little story about one kid. They were in a Catholic grade school, and they're in the cafeteria, and there's a bowl of apples on the line of food, and the kids are taking more than one. So the nun put a sign up that said, only take one apple. God is watching. And down the line of the food, there was a whole bowl of cookies. So a kid put a sign on it that said, take as many cookies as you want. God is watching the apples.
Oh, my. There's lots of secrets that Alan Klein shares in his book, listeners. In fact, I think he mentioned earlier in our conversation, there are 18 of them altogether. Can you name one or two that you really find as a favorite secret, Alan?
Well, one basic one, and it's actually one that resulted in this book, is that kids can teach us to be more loving, more kind, more compassionate. And when my daughter was a teenager, young teenager, I was writing my first book, The Healing Power of Humor. And every day I was writing, and I had a deadline. I, you know, had to write 6 to 8 hours a day, and there'd be a knock on the door, and I'd scream, yes, Sarah, what do you want? You're annoying me. And she'd come in, and she'd tell me some little thing, and she'd go out, and 10 minutes later, she'd come back again. I couldn't get writing done, so I put this big sign on my door that says, Sarah, do not disturb me unless it's an emergency. What happens 10 minutes later? You know, now I'm furious. Yes, Sarah. You know, is it emergency? She said, yes, Dad, open the door. And I opened the door. I said, what is it, Sarah? And she said, Dad, I want to tell you I love you.
Oh, my.
And it just so touched me. And I realized here was a young kid. Here I'm writing about human. Here was a young kid showing me that I had lost my sense of humor and that how important love is and being gentle and to ourselves and to others, that I think we've lost a lot today. So that's one of my favorite lessons in the book.
Do you ever notice how a young child will sometimes, seemingly with no outside motivation at all, just snuggle up to her mom, for example? And it doesn't matter where it is. I mean,
I was at a conference and I met this young kid in the luncheon room, and later in the day I saw the kid way down the pathway outside, and she came running to me and gave me this great big hug. I hardly knew this child, but we had a couple of laughs at lunch, and she remembered that and just embraced me. And, you know, kids do that. The other thing kids do, instead of holding a grudge, and certainly adults can learn this lesson these days, they kiss and make up. You know, one moment they're angry with their fellow playmate because the fellow playmate took their toy, and the next minute it's like we're best friends. And so that's another lesson, that to let go of stuff and embrace other people. You know, they're like you. They have the same problems as you. We need to be kinder, gentler, more compassionate, and certainly kids teach us that.
I saw that Love Without Boundaries a couple of weeks ago. I was in church. Mom and, I don't know, little girl about 5 or 6 maybe, I'm guessing, Mom sitting in the pew, you know, the service is going on. All of a sudden, the little girl comes over, starts snuggling up, you know, grabs Mom by the leg, and then she's kind of trying to burrow in under Mom's arm, you know, to get as close
yeah.
as you can. And I thought, boy, is that ever precious, you know? And who cares
yeah,
if it's
exactly.
in church, you know? I want to hug my mom.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we all, you know, I have a whole section of hugs, scientifically they've proven that hugs actually help our immune system. So the more hugs we can get, the better. And again, kids are huggers all the time.
I want to talk a little bit about the illustrations in your book. Listeners, we're chatting with Alan Klein. His latest book is called Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn. Where did the illustrations come from? Did you have someone do them specifically for the book, or did you hunt them down? Where'd it come from?
Well, that's kind of what I call a mini miracle. My daughter's an artist, and I thought, we've never worked together before, and I thought, what a great opportunity. She does these beautiful little cartoony drawings, and I thought, what a great opportunity to work together. And so I hired her to do the illustrations, and the amazing thing is she did these bears. So in the Be Kind section, she has two little bears hugging. In Be Playful, she has a bear juggling balls. And they're all, each chapter, so they're 18 or so, 20 maybe, illustrations of bears doing, like teddy bears, doing different things. The publisher did not know this was going to happen, or what she was illustrating. She didn't know what the cover would look like, and the publisher put a bear on the cover.
That is
perfect. Yeah. Absolutely perfect. I knew that was just the right thing then.
A mini miracle indeed. Our time begins to run short. I was in a department store. I was in Walmart a week or so ago. There was a mom with two little girls. And the one girl got behind, you know, as they were going up to the checkout line, and she suddenly realized that she was 20 feet or so behind Mom and her sister. And did she walk up or walk briskly to catch up to them? No, she skipped. And I thought, her hands were waving, she's skipping. I mean, kids are just able to experience joy like this effortlessly. They don't even have to think about it.
So there is a stress reliever for adults. If you're under pressure or something, get up and skip around the room. And see, it changes your energy immediately.
I don't know whether I'd be skipping down the aisle at Walmart, though, Alan.
Well, maybe not in public, but if you're in an office, if you're home and the vacuum cleaner or whatever just broke, get up and skip around the house.
Listeners, we've been chatting with Alan Klein, an award-winning inspirational speaker, and I think you can probably gather that if you've just been listening to our interview. His new book is called Secrets Kids Know That Adults Ought to Learn. Is there a website, Alan, that you have that people can get more information on you and your work?
Of course, and it's just my name. So it's www.alanklein.com. They need to spell both names correctly. It's AllenKlein.com.
Alan, nice to talk with you today.
Been great, Dave. Thank you.
I'm halfway across the country, but I got to be honest with you, I've been smiling through our whole interview.
All right. Keep it up all day.
Okay, my friend.
And
thanks.
Skip around the room.
I think I'm going to do it. So long now.
Thank you. Bye.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. Ever have a tough time getting the motor started early in the morning? I know what you mean. Well, maybe I can help. I'd like to invite you to join me every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, for the Early Morning Show here on WISR. We start with the first local news of the day, bright and early at 5:30. We go to 9:30, and oh yes, we pause for half an hour and have coffee with Kate at 8:30 every weekday morning, too. Please join me. I'd like to share the early morning hours, 5:30 weekdays here on WISR. Back, good friends. We move into the next segment of our It's Your Turn program today. And as I've been telling you, we're going to be chatting with our final guest today, Susan Cataldi, the co-founder of Team Friends. Am I pronouncing the last name correctly?
You are. That was very good.
Well, I took a wild stab. Yeah. Nice to meet you. I had not heard of Team Friends, the organization that you co-founded before, until I saw a story in the Post-Gazette not too long ago.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. So tell us, first of all, what is Team Friends?
Team Friends is an organization for adults with ID, Down syndrome, and autism. Their parents, their peer help, their peers, they're typically developing peers. And most recently, we have seen a growing number of have aids or community support people that help the individuals with disabilities in the community.
Mm-hmm. You started working, helping other people when you were quite young, I understand. You were like 15 years old and you were working as a counselor at an Easter Seals camp or something?
I was 15 years old and I started as a camp counselor at the Easter Seals Society camps in the summer. At Camp Harmony Hall, which was located in Middletown, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And that desire just stayed with me throughout high school and college. And I was accepted at Slippery Rock University, and I majored in special education and minored in elementary education.
That's a wonderful thing to discover your your career path mm-hmm. at that young age. It doesn't happen to too many people.
It doesn't.
You know?
And, you know, it really, I always say it was my calling. It was what I was called to do.
15. I think when I was 15, I still wanted to be a cowboy. I'm not sure.
That's fun, too.
You went on to teach. You taught for some years in what school district?
Well, I taught 10 years in Florida and Georgia, and then moved back to Pennsylvania in 1993. And the job that I was doing in Florida, which I was very passionate about as a life skills teacher, opened up at Fox Chapel Area High School, where I graduated. So it was a huge blessing to be able to give back to the school that really inspired me to be a teacher and lay the foundation for what I knew I was going to do.
Now, you were originally from Middletown. Did your family move to Western Pennsylvania?
Oh, no, sir. I grew up in O'Hare Township, Fox Chapel area, okay. And that was just where the job was. So my parents would drive me up, and I would stay there for 8 weeks. They would come up throughout the camp session and see me.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought that
no,
was
that's quite all right.
Your home area. So you taught for some time at Fox Chapel, and you worked with individuals with intellectual disabilities.
Correct.
As I understand it now, and correct me as I go along here, Susan, later you realized that many of these individuals, once they got out of school, there was a disconnect. I mean, they had some help while they were in school, but once they graduated and got past their school years, they were kind of adrift in many cases.
Right. When I taught at Fox Chapel, I developed a peer helper program that enabled regular ed students to come into my classroom and help my students learn, work alongside them, do activities outside of the classroom on weekends, attended prom with them, homecoming dances, football games. And when I retired in 2013, the passion never left me. But I also knew that when students leave high school at the age of 21, if they have their life skills or if they have an ID, mm-hmm. Down syndrome and autism, social activities kind of are done. There's really very little organizations out there that they can participate post graduation. So we came up with Team Friends.
Mm. And a lot of their education, it's mandated, thank goodness, up till
21,
a certain
yes.
age. So it is 21.
Yes.
And then that's it in many cases.
Right.
So what led you to, because you're retired now as a full-time teacher, what led you to form this organization known as Team Friends?
Well, my passion never left me, and my husband and I attend Northway Christian Community in Wexford, and we attend a home group which meets every week, and there was a gentleman in our home group that just posed a question: is there something that we as a group could do for the students that you taught for so many years? And that was in November of 2014, and I sat on that for about a month. And then in December of 14, I said something to my husband. I said, I have this idea. I said, I think we should get my former parents and students and peer helpers together once a month. And he was completely drawn to it and all in. And we composed a letter and we sent it out. And quite honestly, Dave, the response was overwhelming. And in January 20th of 2015, we met for the very first time, 18 of us. And we knew we had something good. We didn't have a name. We weren't a 501c3. But we knew we had something good, so we kept meeting. And then Team Friends was born.
Hmm. 501c, it's a tax-exempt organization.
Right. Well, it's a nonprofit. We have nonprofit status. Actually, we were given that within 3 days, which is really short of a divine intervention.
Mm-hmm. So are your activities similar to what you were doing whenever you were teaching?
Somewhat, yes. We meet once a month. We always begin every activity with a meal. We always have a learning component, an activity. There's every We follow an impact model, and we are impact model. Mm-hmm. It's always inclusive. It begins with a meal. There's always an activity because we have a learning activity, because once you graduate, you're not done learning. And certainly with people with ID, Down syndrome or autism, they're not done learning either. So we create a learning activity. We do several philanthropic activities throughout the year. We always are caring about the world around us. And the peer helpers or the peer support people that come and attend, and the parents, they work alongside the individuals with disabilities to learn and to grow.
So it's peer help, just like you were trying to do in high school.
Yes.
Do you hope that there can be other Team Friends chapters or local units or however you want to call it?
Actually, yes. Most recently, in October of 2017, Greensburg chapter was opened or started through AmeriCay, which formerly is known as AVS NHS, and they opened up our first chapter. I am the founder, and I oversee the Pittsburgh chapter, and Greensburg opened in 2017. We are meeting in the next couple of months with Milestone out of Monroeville, with talk and hopes to open up a chapter in Monroeville, and then also, again, through AmeriCay to open up a chapter in Cambria County.
What about Butler maybe sometime?
I would love it. Anybody out there would be just, it would be great. Yeah. We need that. There is such a need out there for individuals with disabilities to be part of a community, to become connected. And also not only the individuals, but also their parents and people who help them and assist them in the community.
We're talking, if you're joining us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn, listeners, we're chatting with Susan Cataldi. She's the founder of an organization known as Team Friends. And the Pittsburgh chapter began operations,
in 2015.
So it's about 3 years ago.
Yeah, we're almost in our fourth year.
We'll be, yeah. A couple of more chapters may open soon, and hopefully more to come after that. How many people meet with you monthly?
We started with 18, and the nucleus or the founding chapter obviously began at Box Chapel because that was where everybody started. Mm-hmm. And then since then we have individuals from Monroeville, Crafton, Greentree, and our membership has grown to about 50 people every month.
Thank goodness we have had, when I say we, society in general, has seen a sea change in the way that we interact with people with intellectual disabilities or ID. By the way, I've never heard it referred to as that. That's good, ID, or people on the autism spectrum. I mean, you know, there was a time when we kind of pushed these individuals off into a corner.
Correct.
Susan, and in some cases we've forgot that they were there, or maybe wanted to forget that they were there. Much more inclusive now as a society, are we not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank goodness, too. Huh?
Yes, it is. It's a blessing to see that. It's a blessing to see, you know, typical developing peers come alongside and work alongside and have fun and do activities and engage those with disabilities in the community.
Mm-hmm. And you did this when you were in high school. Did you find that the typical kids were happy to do this, or enjoyed doing this?
You have no idea. Yes, absolutely. I had students that, typically developing peers that would just come into my classroom and hang out, and they would want to be a part of my classroom, and they would take a course called Peer Helper Program at Fox Chapel High School while I was there. And quite honestly, Dave, the number of students that went on to become life skills teacher like myself is it's very many, many, many students did that.
What kind of life skills are we talking about? In some cases, something that many individuals would think of as pretty basic, but some of these people needed help.
Right, exactly. Well, a lot of what we did was cooking, cleaning. We would go into the community and shop. We would actually shop for the ingredients or the items that we needed to cook for that week. We also had our students purchase groceries for home. We would, you know, they would learn how to use a debit card or a credit card, much to the dismay of some parents, but writing out checks for the amount of purchase. Just going to a restaurant and ordering off a menu, you know, just things that we might take for granted, but these are lifelong skills that these individuals will use upon graduation and throughout their life.
Your whole concept of peer helpers at the high school level just intrigues the devil out of me because, I wish I'd had something like that when I was in school, you know, that you could have helped out. It was total segregation.
Right.
When I was in school. I mean, well, that's quite a few years ago now, but it's not ancient history either.
Right. Exactly.
There was virtually no interaction, you know. The kids in special education programs were apart. Mm-hmm. They were in a different room. Different place.
Right. Fox Chapel really had an inclusive setting. They, you know, they really believed in that. So a lot of my students would, you know, go into classrooms and learn alongside their typically developing peers.
And what about apart from classroom, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic, mm-hmm. All the other activities that people want to participate mm-hmm. in?
Right.
Whether they're on the autism spectrum or Down syndrome or whatever, they want to go to dances. They want to go to the prom.
Exactly.
They want to go to the ball game, right?
Yeah. And that's what we're seeing with Team Friends, because all the peer helpers or typically developing peers come to a lot of the events, and we go to pirate games. We go to the aviary. We go to the zoo. There's always an activity where they can be with their peers.
How do people get involved with the program? How do you get individuals involved?
Well, anybody can reach out to me at Susan@teamfriends.org, T-E-A-M, friends, FRIENDS.org. You can call me at 1-800-LOVE, L-U-V, team, T-E-A-M. That's our 1-800 number. We have a website, www.teamfriends.org. and a Facebook page, Team Friends Pittsburgh. We would love any type of volunteer requests or how people could get involved. If parents or human service agencies out there want to know, they can get a hold of us in those ways.
Team Friends, T-E-A-M, although it occurs to me you could use the other spelling and it would still make sense,
yeah.
You know. Teaming with friends to help others.
Yeah. Right.
But this is Team Friends, T-E-A-M. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat a little bit more with Susan. Nice to have her with us here today. Coming up later this week, what day is it that we're talking to the new president of Slippery Rock University? Thursday. William Barry is his name. I have not met him yet, so I'll meet him along with you on the Thursday program. I hope you can be with us for that. Back to talk more with Susan here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 52-52. The pick 3, 657-657. The pick 4, 9596, and the pick 5, 80577. Wild ball for each of those is 6. The treasure hunt is 4, 5, 12, 17, and 21. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $25,000.
At Tri-River's Musculoskeletal Centers, our orthopedic surgeons, sports medicine specialists, physiatry, and rheumatology experts are committed to your health. Whether it's joint pain, a sports injury, a worker's comp injury, or you need help managing your arthritis or chronic pain, their physicians provide high-quality care to patients in 7 locations, including 2 right here in Butler and 1 in Slippery Rock. Tri-Rivers accepts most major insurance plans, including Highmark and UPMC. Learn more at TriRiversMSK.com. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, partnering with the Butler community for more than 20 years.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back, good friends. It's the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Monday. Yeah, a little rough getting started in the morning, but hey, we're into the mid-afternoon now. By the way, we're keeping an eye on the radar. There's a possibility of some isolated showers and thunderstorms today. Keeping our fingers crossed. Hopefully most folks will stay dry. We saw a little bit of activity earlier around the Worthington area, but that's gone now. And the closest thing we see at the moment are some spotty showers out around Akron, Canton and Akron, Ohio. So we'll keep watching. Hopefully we'll stay dry for today. Partly sunny is the forecast. We have had some cloud cover moving in, and it is steamy if you haven't been outside today. If you're sitting in the air conditioning, we're at 88 degrees, 88 here in Butler right now. Yeah, wow, that's true. It is warm. Hey, Susan, it beats shoveling snow,
it
right?
It sure does.
You also are involved in a lot of philanthropic activities. Talk about that, Susan.
We are. For me, or for us, it's very important that we have the community at large, whether it be wherever they live, Greensburg, you know, Fox Chapel, Pittsburgh, that the community sees adults with disabilities giving back. So oftentimes you hear about celebrities or organizations always giving back to those in need. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's just as important that we show that those with disabilities are giving back to the community as well, which is why philanthropic activities are so important to Team Friends and the impact model. One of the first philanthropic activities we did was to make 22 personal care packages for the homeless of Hosanna House in Wilkinsburg. We also did 30 or several, maybe 40 custom-made blankets with our logo on it to the Free Store in Wilkinsburg. We've decorated cookies and created service cards. Thank you for your service cards for hospitalized vets in Aspinwall. Twice we have collected coats for Project Bundle Up. We have had food drives for the North Hills Food Bank, who they are our local philanthropic. So when we do food drives, we do give it to the North Hills Food Bank. We also did a food drive for our furried friends for the Humane Society in Pittsburgh. And most recently, and we were in the paper for this, we planted a garden at the Laurie Ann West Community Center in O'Hare Township. It was in need of some sprucing up. So a local landscaper donated the plants. And that way we didn't have to purchase them ourselves. They were donated, and we planted this lovely garden at the community center.
Nice and picture. I think I was in the trip.
It was. Yeah. It was. Thank you for noticing that. And the Greensburg Rotary recently gave us a $400 grant to be used also to create blankets with our logo on it that will be donated and given to the Welcome Home Homeless Shelter for homeless women in Greensburg.
You have a beautiful logo, by the way.
Thank you.
Did you design that? Or?
With help of a lovely lady at our church and, of course, my husband, who's very creative.
It is kind of hard to describe, folks. If you get right up close to your radio, maybe you can see it. I don't think so. I'm kidding, of course. It's a tree, but the trunk and the branches are hands.
Right.
Hands that are upraised and
would you like me to explain?
Yes, please do.
The hands are the trunks of the tree, and they represent the parents and the peer coaches. And in that tree, you see butterflies. So the support is coming from the peer helpers or the peer helpers and the parents. And the butterflies are the players. And they are being helped, and they flourish because they're butterflies. It helps them flourish in this world. There's a circle around the logo as well. It just kind of holds everything together. Our motto is caring and sharing life together. But the butterflies, I don't know if you know this, but Edward Lorenz, an MIT professor, developed a theory called the butterfly effect.
No, I'm not familiar with this at all.
Look it up. There's a video. There's a YouTube video on it. But he created and developed the butterfly effect. And it states that the smallest flapping of a butterfly's wings can create a typhoon halfway across the world. So our wanting to care and share life together, but also to create and show that the flapping of our butterflies or our players can create a momentous creation, not only in the in the city of Pittsburgh, but quite possibly all over the world.
I never thought about it's such a thought-provoking organization that you have here. I never considered philanthropic work be important, but
important.
It is. I mean, I can see it. It would be improving the feeling of self-worth.
Exactly.
For individuals, you know. Hey, we can contribute too, you know,
right.
just like everybody else.
And it makes them feel important.
Absolutely,
and it makes them feel engaged and invested, not only in their own lives, but in the lives of other people.
I'm guessing this is of great comfort and benefit too to families and individuals, families and friends of these individuals.
It is, and that's why we're constantly looking for, you know, assistance and help out there and people who are interested in becoming involved.
You had contact information before. Could you share that with us again before we run out of time? If anyone would be interested in getting more information, maybe getting a team, friends, chapter organized even here in
right.
the immediate Butler area.
Or if anybody would ever like to, you know, sponsor an event or become involved with an event.
Mm-hmm.
My phone number is 1-800-LOVE-TEAM, LUVTEAM. That's our 1-800 number. You can send me an email at susan@teamfriends.org. Our website is www.teamfriends.org, and we also have a Facebook page. Our Facebook page is Team Friends Pittsburgh, and there are two locations because we have two chapters, one in McKees Rocks, Kennedy Township. That's where our mailing address is,
mm-hmm.
and also in Greensburg.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully soon in other places. Who knows?
I know.
Maybe
we
all over
love
the country.
It.
You know, why not?
Exactly.
Yeah, it could spread around. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. Absolutely wonderful. Team Friends, caring and sharing life together. The brainchild of Susan Cataldi, who taught for many years, 20 years you were a life skills
30
teacher.
Years
30
I was
years
I was a life skills teacher. Yes,
yeah.
High school.
Yeah. And now organizing. By the way, how many individuals do you have in Team Friends Pittsburgh?
Well, in Team Friends Pittsburgh, we have close to 50 members.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes parents, our individuals with disabilities, their friends or peer helpers, and community support workers or HABAIDs that work alongside them in the community.
It would be tough to get too much bigger in an individual unit. You'd almost need to break off and have something
yes.
else, right?
That's why we're looking to open up you know, chapters in Monroeville, Greensburg, Cambria County, Butler County. Anybody out there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope so.
Thank you.
Because this is a marvelous thing. Yeah. Gosh, thanks for visiting with us today.
Thank you for having me on. I'm thrilled and honored. Mm-hmm.
Glad I saw the picture in the Trib to know about you, because I had not heard of your organization prior to that. Yeah. Susan Cataldi, founder of Team Friends. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much. It was nice meeting you.
Coming up on the program tomorrow, it'll be the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Old Dan Cunningham will be here tomorrow. You know, there's going to be a second Cruisapalooza now, starting this year and henceforth. Cruisapalooza 2 will be coming up. It's going to be in the downtown area. We'll tell you all about it. Dan will. Also tomorrow, we'll have guests from the performing arts group Sing Hosanna here in Butler. They're gearing up for their dinner theater program. I think they do that every summer. Ralph Christie will be here tomorrow to tell us about that. And Stan Kosciuszko, president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, scheduled to visit with us on tomorrow's program as well. And a program note,